Bud Johnson.
Aiken.
Bud Johnson. That little conjunction, little three-letter word, sure can make a difference, can't it? The word but means what has just been said, totally opposite from what's about to be said. When God steps in, things drastically change. You think about it tonight, where would you be but God?
Amen.
Yes, sir. Where would we be? Where would your marriage be? Where would your children be? Where would your life be but God? Enjoy the singing tonight. Acts chapter number 9. Acts chapter number 9. I'm not going to tell you that I'm going to be brief because I don't really know. But I'm going to preach what thus saith the Lord tonight. I'm going to give you what He's given me. I need your help a little bit tonight. I need you to use your brain for a second. I need you to think just a little bit. Somebody could leave here with their life changed tonight.
Yeah.
I'm talking about literally. Somebody could walk out of here tonight at liberty that they hadn't felt in a long time. If you'll listen just for a few minutes tonight, I want to try and help you. It's not a fuss at you kind of message. It's a help you kind of message. Amen? So Acts chapter number 9. I'm going to read several verses of Scripture. Acts chapter number 9. I'm going to pick up reading in verse number, verse 31. The Bible said, "Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord, and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, were multiplied. And it came to pass as Peter passed throughout all quarters, he came down also to the saints which dwelt at Lydda. And there he found a certain man named Enos, which had kept his bed 8 years and was sick of the palsy. And Peter said unto him," I hope I'm saying his name right, "Enos, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise and make thy bed." And the Bible said he arose immediately. And all that dwelt at Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord.
Amen.
Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by the interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And for as much as Lydda was not a Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them, and when he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber. And all the widows stood by him weeping and showing the coats and the garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed. And turning him to the body, said, "Tabitha, arise." And she opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And it came to pass that he tarried many days in Joppa with one Simon, a tanner. Father, as we come to you this evening, I pray, Lord, that just for a few minutes, you help me, Lord, to help somebody. Help somebody to walk out of this place a little lighter than they was when they come in. Lord God, I pray that you help somebody to get over something, God, that's got them down. Father, I pray that you just help tonight, and we are blessed and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Now, since the churches had rest, Peter was free to go and visit all these quarters. They said he's going around and checking on all the people. Peter, he kind of leads the first 12 chapters or so of Acts, and he's taking advantage of this peace and visiting all these new believers. knowing that in visiting them he might find discouragement, discord, or depression, and all other kinds of damage according to the churches that had received persecution. When he gets to Lydda, he found a man named Aeneas who had been bedridden for 8 years. Now you just imagine this scene for just a few minutes. He gets into town and here's this man Aeneas, and he's been, the Bible said, bedridden for 8 years. He has the palsy. I can imagine it's kind of like I walk into a hospital or a funeral home or what. Oh, Brother Eddie, come and pray. They want Peter to come and visit with the sick man. They want Peter to come and kind of encourage and comfort. And that's expected of the man of God. Would you agree?
Yeah.
I can just imagine as they get there and they ask Peter to come and to see this man. So he gladly goes and he visits this crippled man. Now as he gets to this town of Lydda, here's what the people have done immediately. They show Peter a problem. This man is sick of the palsy. Would you say he had a problem?
Yes, sir.
He's kind of paralyzed, if you will. He can't walk. Let me ask you again. Would you agree that he has a problem? I wonder if I were to go around the room tonight and you were honest and it wasn't a public thing, but you could tell me privately and I asked you, do you have a problem?
Yes.
A lot of people, here's what a lot of Baptists will do. No, brother, I'm great.
Yeah.
But you've got bitterness in your heart.
Yeah.
You've got unconfessed sin in your life. And you're going on going through the motions and playing the part, but you have everybody think that you're okay when deep down there is a problem. Now this man had a physical problem that crippled him physically, but I think there are many tonight with a spiritual problem that has crippled them spiritually. I'd like to know that I was right enough with God to be able to get prayer through and be able to get prayer answered. I'd like to know that I was right enough with God that I could work out a problem with a brother or a sister. I'd like to know that I was right enough with God that I could witness and share the gospel with a lost man and have the power and anointing of the Holy Spirit. I'd like to know that I was right enough with God that I could walk to the pulpit on Sunday morning and preach with his anointing and with his favor. A lot of times there's an underlying problem, and I'm getting way ahead of myself, that maybe the crowd can't see and the public can't see.
Yeah.
But we know it's there.
Yeah.
So they present Peter with a problem, and it's a serious problem. But then he's approached in our scripture by two other guys, and they begin to tell him about this lady by the name of Tabitha. They sounds like they're desperate. They come from Joppa, which is a nearby town, and they said, Peter, man, you got to come. And what they're expecting is Peter just come pray with the family and comfort us. And they start showing him all the things that this lady did while she lived. Showing him all the things that she made and showing him what a blessing she was. And they asked Peter to come. They're sharing with him these coats and all these things and the lives that she's touched. And when they asked him to come with the man with the palsy, they showed him a problem. But then when he comes with Tabitha or Dorcas, if you will, they show him somebody with a past. Somebody with a past. She's dead. Of course, he doesn't leave her that way. But I guarantee everybody in here tonight can probably say amen to the fact that we got problems.
Amen.
And we have a past.
Amen.
It's one thing I like about our church. Everybody here wasn't born a Baptist.
Yeah.
Everybody here wasn't born saved. We got some people in our church with a past. Now, we don't like to glorify the past and glorify our sins, but we do like to glorify the God who got us past our past. Can I help you right there? We ought to give God. Now, the greatest testimony is I've been in church all my life. The greatest testimony is I never tasted alcohol. The greatest testimony is I never done drugs. The greatest testimony was I never committed fornication. The greatest testimony is I never committed adultery. But in our case, that's not the case. In every case, but let me say, that is the best testimony I've ever. God's allowed some of you to be here at a very young age, and you've got an opportunity to live a life free of that kind of God. God sends us many others who do have a pretty dark past. And by the way, even you who grew up in church. Ephesians chapter number 2 says that even you were dead in your trespasses. You may have grew up in the church from the nursery all the way up, but you still needed Jesus just like a man who staggered in off the street. You still need the Lord just like a man who was in jail last week. You still, hey, are you listening to me? Hey, we still need him just like everybody else. So they show him a problem, then they show him a past. And I think we could all bear resemblance to that. We got problems and we got past. And Peter sees their problem, he sees their past. But when he got there, he didn't sit down and mourn with them. When he saw Aeneas on his bed, he didn't give him a prayer of encouragement or a lesson on how to trust God during a time of trial. When he saw Tabitha and all those weeping, he didn't say, "I'm so sorry for your loss. I'm going to pray for God to give you strength." Now we know we're not living in the day of these apostolic powers. That's past and gone. If that power was still available, we would see it happen. That's why you never see the faith healer on television raise the dead. I'll tell you why. They can't. They can fake all that other stuff they do. But you can't fake dead. Not one time. One day I would like to just roll a corpse. Just go to the funeral home and say, "Can I borrow her for a little bit?" I'll bring her back. And just roll them down the healing line and say, "Ooh, there it is. Help yourself there, faith healer." You get her up, and I'll take her back to the house. Amen. They cannot do it.
Amen.
The apostles did have that power. And he did raise this lady from the dead. Now, what Peter does, he doesn't mourn with them. He doesn't pray that God give them strength. He doesn't go through a lesson on trusting God and why God has given this man this situation of his palsy or crippledness. He didn't reason with it. He saw their past. He saw their problem. But what Peter does, he shows them another possibility. He shows them another possibility. He would lead them, Brother Charles, out of their circumstance. What? Peter showed this man who was crippled, this family where the lady had died. What he showed them was a possibility of hope.
Amen.
And I want to say, whatever your situation is tonight, there's hope.
Amen.
Amen.
There's hope.
Amen.
Are you listening?
Amen.
For a few minutes tonight, when I was a teenager, there was a show that came on. I remember when they first came out with ESPN. Mm-hmm. Anybody remember that side of me?
Yeah.
I mean, that was back in probably the 70s, maybe. I don't know. 70s, sometime in that. But they had this show. If anybody remembers it, say amen. It was called "And They Walked Away." Anybody remember that?
Yeah.
Brother Bud was the only one. Here's what. Andrew, you don't remember that show? It may still come on, I don't know. But the show was called "And They Walked Away," and what it did, it was a sports channel, and it would show people like that race them cafe-style racing bikes. You know what I'm talking about, where they lay them down on their side? I mean, they're running 300 miles an hour, fall off that motorcycle, and they skip like a rock across the lake on the asphalt for a couple of hundred yards and crash into bales of hay, and they get up and walk off.
Yeah.
They sell pop fuel dragsters running 260 miles an hour. Just explode, and there ain't nothing left but a little capsule rolling down the drag strip that driver is sitting in. They go out there and put the fire out, cut his seatbelt off, and he gets out and walks off.
Yeah.
Unscathed, unhurt.
Yeah.
That was the premise of the show of how bad of an accident these guys could get in and still live to tell it another day. Tonight, for a minute or two, I'd like to preach to you on this thought. And they walked away. And they walked away. Brother Peter came and found the problem. He came and he found the past. You got a problem and you got a past. But in both these cases, they walked away.
Amen.
I don't know what you're dealing with tonight, but I want to encourage you to the fact that you can walk away. You can walk away from a broken heart, a broken relationship. You can walk away from a life of sin. Turn your back on it and never go back there again.
Amen.
There is victory over the Bible. There is victory over the pills. There is victory over the drug. There is victory over sexual sin. And the victory is in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, I'm looking around in a room full of people tonight who walked away. By all means, they should have died in their sin. By all means, they should have died in their problems. By all means, they should have died in their past. But somehow, they walked away. Let me tell you why AA don't work.
Come on.
Because they don't have the one who has the power. Walk away.
Yes.
Somebody asked me the other day, Brother Jason, why was our ladies' home so successful? And I think it is.
Yes.
Because I've seen a lot of others. We got a faithful crew right there. Hear like a clock and ticking now. Why does it work? Because Jesus is at its core.
Amen.
The power of the Holy Spirit is its foundation. I'm going to tell you tonight, there is a possibility for you, my friend, to get up and walk away from whatever it is.
Yes, sir.
We say, you don't know how I've been treated in the past. Oh, you just look around me. They mistreated people all over this world. I've been abused by family members, even spouse. You can walk away. You can walk away from an ugly, ugly boy.
Yes, sir.
You can walk away.
Right.
There'll probably always be scars and memories, but you can walk away. There is life after.
Amen.
Be careful right here for a second. That's going to let you know where I stand.
Yeah.
I grew up in a time where if you had been divorced, there wasn't very much you could do for God.
Amen.
Oh. Oh, you could have done anything else. You could have been a drunk, a pill popper, a cocaine addict. You could have been anything in the world. But if you've never been married, caught divorced, God couldn't use you.
You're right.
God help you.
God help you.
Surprise, surprise, surprise.
Yeah.
You're sitting in a church where God has used some people. God has restored some people. Listen, I've got one wife. I've only had one wife. I plan to keep one wife.
Yeah.
If she dies, something happens, I don't want nary another one. I'm praying we go in the rapture, but if we don't be trying to hook me up. My daughter will interview every woman who wants to talk to me and put them in the road, I guarantee you. I'm happy. I'm not sick. I've not been divorced. Don't want to get divorced. But I believe God has mercy.
Yeah.
And helps those. I watched my mother do it.
Yeah.
Right. Amen.
My mother was the first person I married that had been divorced. And when my mother asked me, I grew up where if somebody had been divorced, you couldn't marry. Are y'all okay?
Yeah.
I taught that all my life.
Yeah.
My mother came to me and said, son, I know where you stand, but is there a chance you can marry me? It's my mom. I watched my daddy walk away when I was 4 years old.
Amen.
Marry another woman while he was still married to my mother. With my mother standing on the porch weeping. Totally out of her control. I watched her live for God my entire life. The greatest soul winner that I had ever known in my entire life. The most faithful person to the Bible I had ever known in my life. The most faithful church member I had ever known in my life. A bus captain for 25 years. No telling that the thousands that'll be in heaven.
Yeah.
And I sat down in my bed that night and began to weep and search God. Then the Holy Spirit said, how dare you even think about it? Say no.
Yeah.
To your mouth.
Amen.
Go.
Amen, sir.
Amen.
Don't die on me.
Come on. Come on. Amen.
It seems like God is not as apt to hold your past over your head.
Right.
You're exactly right.
As your brethren is not.
Yeah.
Isn't it odd how we all like to remember, oh, I remember what you were, and I remember what you was. We love to tell the story about what we used to do and how we used to live so wicked. But there's a God in heaven, that's all. Hey, when he sees me, he sees me as worthy. I wonder tonight, will you walk away? Are we okay? Now, we look at this guy with the palsy. Now, stay with me. That's a serious problem. When you've been in a bed for 8 years, you're sick. Y'all listening?
Yeah.
I mean, this guy had a serious problem. We're not making light of the problem. And I'm not making light of your problem. In verse number 33, the Bible said he was sick of the palsy. This was a very bad disease and very hard to control. It caused a loss of motor skills from either sickness in the brain or spinal cord. So the interweb says. Peter never makes light of the problem. The man's bitten. And I'm not here to make light of your problems. I grew up with some of my own bitterness against my own dad. Even years after I was saved. I'm not making, some people preach and they'll make light. If you got a problem, you just need to get right with God. Oh, well, we were just bad.
Yeah.
Some of those problems of our past are the hardest in the world to overcome.
Yeah.
But I'm here to tell you tonight, even in a serious problem, there is a possibility.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's up to the Lord. I think it's up to us.
Right.
This wasn't just a serious problem, Brother Freddy. It was a stubborn problem. How many of you have one of those?
Yeah.
A stubborn problem. Not just a serious problem, but a stubborn problem. In other words, no matter how hard you try, it just don't go away.
Yeah.
I said a stubborn problem, and Shelly spoke to me. I'm sorry, I can't help that. Amen. My wife says amen to that too, my brother. We're talking about your spouse. Amen. Hey, listen to me seriously now. For years, I was your pastor. And I would preach on bitterness and how you ended your life. But yet I had it in my heart. I wasn't, don't get me wrong, I wasn't being a hypocrite on purpose. I believed exactly what I was preaching. And it would rise up and I would deal with it. And it would rise up and I would deal with it. It was a stubborn problem. A lot of times we hear somebody preaching, and they make it sound so easy. Well, I'll just make one trip to the altar, and I'll never have to worry about it again. I wish that was so. I wish those sins were of the past. And the temptation of sin was just a one-time pray about it. It never bothered me. But it was a stubborn problem. Every time I turned around, it'd stick his nasty head up.
Amen.
Are you listening?
Yes, sir.
The Bible said he kept his bed 8 years. Pretty stubborn problem. You reckon he ever sought help? Reckon he tried to get better? Remember the little lady with the issue? She had spent all she had. She'd been to all the doctors. She'd done everything. It wasn't, she didn't want to stay sick.
No.
I don't think you want to stay bitter or angry. I don't think you want to wallow in your sin. I don't think there's ever been a drunk puking all over himself going, I love this, I love being a drunk.
Yeah.
I don't think there's ever been a dope addict who's sticking a needle in their arm thinking, boy, this is what I live for. This is what I always wanted to be. That's not that way. That's not my heart, it's not your heart.
That's right.
Here's what we like to do. We like to say, oh yeah, he's got a problem.
Yeah.
She's got a problem.
Yeah.
All we're trying to do is compensate for our own.
Right.
Maybe your problem ain't outwardly visible like the drug.
Right.
Maybe your problem ain't outwardly visible like a meth addict or the one hooked on. I believe heroin is the biggest, one of the biggest problems we got right now. That's a visible problem. Oh, but we got some sanctified folks. With a King James Bible in and a smile on their face. I'm afraid sometimes our problems are way worse. Because they're embedded so deep in our heart. Are you okay tonight? A stubborn problem. Now, when I got saved, there were some things in my past that had a hard time dying.
Yes, sir.
Stubborn. My preacher always said when he got saved, his cusser quit. Mine didn't quit. I had to work on it.
Amen.
I had to work on it. That old flesh was still flesh. That temper was still there. All that stuff, man, it was still there. There was some of them old ways and them old actions, it was still there. It was stubborn.
Amen.
It bothered me when I did it. Here's the problem. A lot of people do it and don't bother.
Yeah.
It bothered me. I was sorry for it.
Okay.
I'd get mad on the job and wind up crying in front of a bunch of construction workers because I blame God there. Go off behind a stack of sheetrock somewhere and pray. It bothered me. But them old sins of the past, they were stuck.
Amen.
Some of them died very hard.
Yeah.
Amen.
Some of them still like to raise up and catch a breath every now and then. Somebody say amen right there.
Amen.
Now here's what happens when we have these stubborn problems. I'm going to try to be quick, but I'm going to give you every bit of this tonight.
Preach.
Here's what we do. Here's what I've watched in 25 years of pastoring the same church. Here's what we do when we have problems and a past. If we're not careful, we accept them.
Yeah.
We just accept it, Brother Charles. Instead of laying awake at night hoping for a solution, we go right to sleep, accepting this as the new normal. And this is just the way it is. This is just, I'll just have to live with this the rest of my life. I'm going to tell you there's a possibility. Proverbs chapter 13, verse number 12, the Bible said, hope deferred make it the heart sick. In other words, if the devil can strip you of your hope, I bet several of our ladies and the ladies home could testify and say, I got to a place where I thought there was no hope.
Amen.
You know what the devil was doing? He was convincing them that their life wasn't worth living. They might as well just give up. They would never conquer it. They would never get over it. The devil will take every bit of hope you got and strip it away.
Amen.
And when he takes away your hope, you have no hope.
That's right.
And you just learn to accept, well, this is my lot.
Right.
This is what happened. This is I'll have to live with this the rest of my life. I'm going to tell you, there's a possibility for you to walk away.
Amen.
Instead of hoping, when it seems impossible, we just accept it as who we are. Romans chapter 4 and verse number 18. I love that verse, Brother Charles. It said, who against hope believeth in hope?
Yes, sir.
I'm telling you, you've got something to believe in tonight. You know Christ is your Savior. And listen, I'd love to live in a fairy tale land where every Christian lives in the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ every day. I would love to live in that, I don't want to say the word, but in that hoity-toity church crowd, you know, that they got their Mercedes and they're driving their $100,000 cars and living in their $500,000 homes, and they come to church and look at that crowd, you think, wow. They ain't got a problem in the world.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
But it just ain't true.
All right.
Amen. Amen. We just learn how to cover it up.
Amen.
We learn how to hide it.
Yes.
And we accept it in our heart. It's just part of who we are. I want to tell you something tonight. You can hope. Don't accept your problem. You say, well, I prayed for God to forgive this bitterness before, and it just won't go away. Don't quit.
Amen. Amen.
You keep hoping.
Amen.
You keep hoping. I can testify to you today and say before you honestly from my heart, there's no bitterness in my heart for my
baby.
Praise God.
The last 5 years of his life, man, we had a relationship that made up for all the past.
Hey,
that's right.
All the lost years.
Hey.
And I guarantee you, if he can hear me tonight, my daddy's sitting in heaven.
Yeah.
You tell him something.
Thank you, Jesus.
I'm telling you, there is a possibility, but our problem is we accept it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we adapt to it.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
We adapt to our problems.
Amen.
Like Aeneas, we change our entire lifestyle to suit the problem. We allow it authority over our life.
Right.
Are y'all okay?
Amen.
It dictates our entire life. I love watching those soldiers on TV, little Charles, who have been to Afghanistan and got blown up by IED and maybe lost both their legs, but they didn't let it change them. You see them running marathons and doing all these great things. It didn't change their life. I'd love, we talked about Brother Randy Pike in the prayer room. Y'all pray for him tomorrow. He has to go for an MRI. It's just going to be a huge ordeal just to get him out of the house and get him to the hospital. But I've watched him my entire Christian life. And even before I say, walk on those crutches.
Yeah.
But it never changed the man of God he was. Those crutches never became who Randy Pike was. I never thought about him as a cripple. I always looked at him. I didn't see crutches. I saw a man of God.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yes.
If we're not careful, we not only accept our problem, but we adapt to it and we allow it to become who we are. And that's just the way it is. Some people who get addicted to pity.
Come on. Yes.
They've wallowed in it for so long. Remember the man at the pool of Bethesda? And I preached on it a lot before, so I won't belabor that. But y'all remember that guy who lay by the pool, and the angel came at a certain time and troubled the water. The first one in the water got healed. Remember, this guy had been crippled for 38 years? Much of 38 years he'd been crippled. And Jesus came by, and he's walking through that multitude of sick people.
Yeah.
And he comes to that one guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Brother Jesse stops where he was and asks him a simple question. Will thou be made whole? You know what the guy did? He started doing exactly what you're doing and exactly what I've done. He started telling the Lord his excuses.
Amen.
Will you be made whole?
Yeah.
He didn't ask him, can you?
Right.
He asked him, will you?
Yeah. Amen.
With the Lord, it's never can. It's always will.
Amen.
In other words, the Lord was putting the ball in his court. You want it? You got it.
Yeah.
I'm asking you, do you want it?
Yes.
Well, when the water's troubled, I don't have anybody to wham. Said he didn't have anybody to put him in the water. My just country way of thinking, how'd he get there? It's crippled, he didn't walk.
Right.
I don't think he had a hug around. Somebody brought that cat and laid him by the bowl.
That's right.
He's serious about getting well. He could have said, hey, you mind staying for a few minutes and picking me off of that plate? So he gives that excuse to the Lord and he says, I have nobody to put me in the water. And the Lord doesn't even acknowledge it.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't. He don't skip a beat. You know what he said? After he made his excuse, arise.
Amen.
Yeah. Take up thy bed. In other words, I don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
I don't need to hear it. I know your past. I know your problem. I know how you got here. I know how long you've been crippled. I know how deep up you are. I know how messed up you are. All I want to know is, do you want to walk? So if you do, get up.
Yeah.
Yes.
But we accept our problem and we adapt to our problem and we learn how to live with it. Now listen, a physical ailment you may have to learn to live with. I don't have much physical problem. My feet hurt. No big deal. They make inserts for your shoe. I have chronic sinus trouble. No big deal. I tried every cure under the sun. Home remedy, everything. I tried it all. Nothing. It's still bad. Except for one. Brother Freddie told me to stick my head in the bucket 5 times, 3 pounds, and pull it out twice. Kind of like the man dipping in the Jordan. Amen. That would cure it, amen. Tell you to step there and shake your head. She don't know what to do with either one of us. Amen. Physical problems, you may have to learn to deal with. But spiritual problems, you don't have to live with.
Amen.
I'm telling you, there is nothing you can't walk away from tonight.
That's right.
Ashley said it. I started just telling her, go on, preach. You got my sermon, go on, preach it. She said she got mad at God. God had done healed her of cancer from head to toe. God had done gave her a baby. God had blessed, but yet she got mad at God and said, why me? Why me? Isn't that what we all do?
Yes, sir.
I'm not making light of Ashley Hoffman. Don't you ever think that. But what was said to her, why not you? What makes you any better than anybody else? We're not guaranteed that we're never going to get a bad report from the doctor.
Right.
I'm 53 years old. I'm sure within the next 20 years, I may hear some bad news from the doctor. So why?
Amen.
But she got mad about it. Who would? I'd like to tell you that I'm godly enough that I've never batted an eye and it never fazed me, but I'm human too.
Amen.
And I'm sure I'd lay in my bed and ask the same question. But you know what God did? He didn't leave her there to wallow and die in that bitterness. God said, I will show you why. I want to get honor and glory out of your life. I want to get honor and glory out of your story. I want people to know that you did get up and you did walk.
Amen.
We adapt to our problems. We accept them. And then if we're not careful, we associate with them. Our identity merges with our problem. You get to be known as that crippled guy. That's your new identity. You get to be known as that one with an addiction. I disagree with medical science when they say once you're an addict, you're always an addict.
Amen.
I don't believe that. Not for a second. Don't come in here and tell our ladies and our men that there's never victory over them.
Amen.
I serve a God
that
He's able to reach where nobody can.
Praise God.
But y'all believe that thought.
Amen.
Right. we come to associate with our problem. It becomes the biggest part of who we are.
That's right.
I know people, I know Christians, Brother Spartan, that have lived 3 years in misery over a broken heart.
Yeah.
They've never got past it. And you just know it was that old miserable. No joy, no happiness, no glory, just doom and gloom. That's become who they are. They're like the little guy on the cartoon. What was it? The Peanuts. Charlie Brown. That's what I'm trying to. That big cloud went over his head everywhere he went. I know, Christian, that was dirt over him, wasn't it? Anyway, you got that dark cloud over your head. Listen, the Lord wants you to have some sunshine too.
Amen.
He don't want defeat to be your story. He don't want you to come down to the end of the road and say, well, instead of like Paul, I fought a good fight and I finished my... He wants you to come down the end of the road and say, I lost the fight. I've been beat down. I've been struggling. I've been depressed. I've been discouraged the whole way. That ain't the testimony God has His desire for you to have. Are we okay? But if we're not careful, we become... or get to the place where we associate our lives with our problems. Just like the guy we talked about a while ago. 38 years. That's a lifetime.
Yes, sir.
38 years. You know what? He didn't know anything yet.
That's right. That's right.
He didn't know. Brother Doug Pelos was here this morning from South Carolina. But he hadn't always been blind. He used to speak. But he's been blind so long, you know what he said? It's hard to remember now. What things look like. If we're not careful, we get in that position and leave ourselves there for so long that it just becomes who we are.
Amen.
38 years. That's all we need. Laying on the bed, probably begging for every dime that he got.
Right.
That's all he knew. They didn't know. He didn't know a life of victory. He didn't know a life of healing. And a lot of people in this room saved tonight who just had no victory. I'm just giving you a possibility.
That's good. Amen.
I can't do it for you. But I'm sure bring you to the one who can.
Amen.
He saw their problem. It's a serious problem and a stubborn problem. But lastly, I'm done. In the cases of both of these, it was a solid problem. It was a solid problem. I'm glad we got some folks in here tonight. Can give a testimony and tell you how God solved the problem.
Amen.
I was glad Sister Ashley testified before she sung tonight. She didn't leave it there that I was bitter with God. She went on to say how God delivered her from that and He solved the problem.
Amen.
Every one of those ladies in the home can stand up tonight and tell you about solving the problem.
Amen.
Not just them, all of us from the pulpit to the balcony, we can stand up and tell you how God solved a big problem.
Yes, that's right.
My little brother sitting in church tonight.
Amen.
Used to smoke more pot than I could carry in a day. That's all he did. From the time he got up to the time he went to bed. Played in bars all over this country. One of the most well-known musicians in this part of the country. That's what he did. That was his life. And one day God stepped in.
Amen.
Amen.
Hey,
yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Praise God.
And he took
you
what?
Amen.
He don't play in the bars no more.
That's right.
Well,
amen.
He don't live on the end of a doobie no more.
That's right.
Amen.
God can solve the problem.
Yes,
amen.
Sir.
Yes, He can.
Amen.
I've seen it over and over, Brother Spartan. Husband and wife come in, it's over.
Yeah, come on, praise and help us.
It's over, there ain't no hope for us. Yeah, there is.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey.
There is hope for you.
That's right.
Amen.
Hope for your children. What's it, Brother Jack said? As long as there's breath, there's hope.
Right.
The devil's just got you convinced there's no hope.
That's right.
Yes, that's right.
Peter was greatly used of God to solve their problem. Was he a doctor? No. Was he himself ever healed of palsy? No. Did he ever even have palsy? No. Was he God? No. He had no medical education. He's a fisherman. He couldn't even really relate to the problem.
Yeah.
That's right.
He couldn't honestly look at that man and say, I understand, I know just where you're going.
Right.
He couldn't look at Tabitha and say, I understand just where you are. I've been dead, dude. No. But here was a man who had seen Jesus do exactly what he's about to do in the fall.
Yes, he had, brother.
He said again. Here's a man who had no understanding of where they were and what they're going through, but he had walked with them. He had seen perhaps the guy at the pool of Bethesda who was sick, crippled for 38 years. Here's a guy only 8 years in.
Yeah.
I'm thinking with Peter. He done it for that guy. He'd been crippled 38 years. Man, you got it. Hey, you only been crippled 8. Hallelujah, get up.
Yeah.
I imagine Peter thinking, I remember walking down there to the graveyard of Lazarus. He'd been dead 4 days and was stinking. And Jesus said, Lazarus.
Yeah.
Lazarus come forth and the dead rose. Imagine Peter singing that song like Ashley and Bibb and Brother Todd. I know a man.
Yeah.
I know a man.
Yes, sir.
Who can?
Yeah.
Verse 34. Had to be some faith. Getting over that problem. He said, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. A lifetime problem can be healed by Christ.
Amen.
You know, I'm not sure, but I doubt this man, Aeneas, ever even saw Christ. I don't know. But he already believed. He was already saved.
Right.
Would you agree? Verse 32, he was among the saints. Are you listening? He was there with the believers. In my way of thinking, Brother Charles, he was saved. He had already trusted Christ as a Savior, but he still was crippled. And a lot of people say, you get saved, all your problems go away.
That's right.
I'm preaching to crippled Christians tonight.
Amen.
But he had to go a little bit further in his faith that Christ could heal his physical needs and his spiritual needs. Most people are at this same point. You've got saving faith, but no solution faith.
Right?
You've got saving faith. Oh yeah, I know God saved me. I'm on my way to heaven when I die, but I can't ever get over this.
Yeah.
Ain't it the devil good?
Right.
If he can convince you that God can do something as great as save your soul from an eternity in hell, which you deserve, but he can't handle these petty issues,
come on,
that he can't help you with the bitterness, that he can't help you with the sin, he can't help you with all these other issues that you're dealing with. You got saving faith, but not solution faith. I believe God, I believe in a Savior who's not just interested in my soul. I believe he's interested in my life.
Amen.
That's right. That's right.
You can read it when you get home from Romans chapter number 7, one of my favorite chapters in the New Testament. Paul deals with that thing, dealing with the old man.
Yeah.
When a woman do good, evil is present.
Yeah.
That's right.
I know that in my flesh dwells no good.
Amen. Amen.
Then he goes on down there and says, who shall deliver me from the body of the
dead?
Then he gives us the answer.
Yeah.
With God, how many things are possible?
all things if possible.
Yes, sir.
I believe there is solution to faith. Romans chapter 8, verse 31, the Bible says, what shall we say to them? Or then say to these things, if God be for us, who will be
against us? Amen.
There had to be some faith. There had to be some follow through. There had to be some follow through. Faith and belief is not enough. At the pool of Bethesda, here in Lydda, with this man, Aeneas, here in the house of Tabitha and Dorcas, all three, something had to happen. They had to give up. They had to get up. Well, I believe God's just going to take care of me. You need to put some shoe leather on me.
Amen.
I believe God's just going to deliver this out of my heart. You need to get up and do something about it.
Amen.
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
Like the guy in the flood in Louisiana years ago. Every day the water was rising by feet. First day they sent a boat by. An old man sitting on his horse said, come on, we'll take you to higher ground. He said, no, God's going to take care of me. God will take care of me. They come by the next day, he's sitting on the roof. They said, come on, get in the boat. He said, God's going to take care of me.
Oh, yeah.
The next day, there ain't nothing sticking out but the very peak of the roof. And he's sitting there and they bring a helicopter and drop a ladder. He said, come on, we're going to take you to higher ground. He said, God's going to take care of me. Well, he rang. He gets to heaven. He said, Lord, I thought you was going to take care of me. He said, I sent you 2 boats and a helicopter. Sometime, at some point, we're going to have to get up.
Yeah, right. Amen.
We're going to have to rise up and say, by the grace and the help of the Lord, I am going to walk away.
Amen.
I'm not going to live my life as a victim.
Amen.
I'm not going to live my life. My testimony is not going to be a testimony of tragedy. It's going to be a testimony of triumph.
Amen.
Yes.
Will you walk away?
Amen.
You said, preacher, I can't. Oh, but you can't.
Amen.
Are the Bible's not true? And you might as well walk on it. I can do all things.
Amen.
Through Christ, which strengthens.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Let's stand up, faith.